Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women in Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good afternoon, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Eric. It's so good to be at this beginning of this new year and new decade. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Me too. And I know that we were talking before the podcast about some of the things that we did during our holidays, and it was wonderful. But 2020 came in quickly, and we're off to a running start. Yeah, and I know that we're going to do a little bit of a review, so I'm just going to kind of go over a little bit of what we talked about on the last two podcasts, and then I'm going to turn it over to you because I need to know what we're talking about today. and you've got the plan. So on the last couple podcasts, we talked about technical planning for year end and year beginning. And then we also reviewed something that I thought was fantastic, a great tool called Touchstone that we use to support a new chapter in someone's life when they kind of feel unclear, right? Is that, did I kind of wrap that in a bow there?
Yeah, when it's really hard to know, you know, which direction should I take, or, you know, one's pondering something, and instead of trying to get, you know, in our culture, we're so much, and especially with technology, we're so much about like, okay, next action. Yeah, especially this time of the year. Let's get our planners ready. Let's figure out our actions and our goals. And sometimes that's all just too overwhelming, and especially in the midst of transition. So Touchstone really helps us take a step back and really becomes this place from which we can really envision our decisions that we need to make.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are we talking about today? Moving from that kind of feel to what we talked about, what are we going to be discussing today?
Well, it's still early in 2020, and as I talked about in those past couple podcasts, we at Gates Pass, we look at both the technical, you know, as you talked about, we talked about technical information for year-end, and even if it's obviously it's year beginning, but you can listen to those year-end recommendations and feed them into this year,
absolutely,
as well as things to consider for the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So we look at that as well as the personal, you know, with things like Touchstone. And since it is the beginning of the year, I don't know if this has been true for you, but a lot of us have been talking about this new decade.
Yeah.
And I remember being in second grade, and we were all talking about how old we were going to be in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious where my flying car is right now, because at 2020,
yeah, exactly.
Right? 2020, I was positive by now, but you know. Oh, well.
Well, we all have computers that we walk around attached to all the time. That
this
was something none of us envisioned.
Yeah.
And none of us can live without them now. But
yeah, I know, right? Drives me crazy.
I remember saying, it's just clear as day, I remember saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 35 years old in the year 2000. And so now, that was 20 years ago. So, you know, I'm not 55 yet. But remember Y2K, that... Oh, there was so much anxiety about Y2K, what was going to happen with the financial system, and nothing was programmed to go to where it was just, you know, zeros for the year, and what was going to happen. And that already was 20 years ago.
Wow. And do you ever shop on Amazon.com?
Oh, every now and then.
Every now and
like
then?
Like yesterday.
Just yesterday, you know.
The day before.
Yep.
The day before then.
I don't need any accolades or gifts, Esther, but I was part of the team that did the Y2K updates for Amazon.com.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I lived in Seattle, and
you know,
I was geeky. Yeah. I saved everybody. Anyway.
You did.
Thank you so much. I hurt my shoulder patting myself on the back there, Esther.
Exactly.
It's my
cat
age.
Food came on time that day.
Yeah. And now I've bought a couple Echo Dots and Alexas all throughout my house, and I regret updating Y2K for them because she just keeps trying to sell me stuff. But anyway, that's my own personal issue. Oh, man. Yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that was a little scary.
And then the other part that has come up in conversations is how old we're going to be at the end of this decade. And we're all closer to our goals, no matter how old you are listening to this. If you're 20 years old, if you're 54 years old or older than that, we're all closer to different goals, whether it be retirement, children's graduation, our own graduation, grandchildren's graduation. And we're close to another stage of transition. You know, these stages of transition that I've talked about in previous podcasts, but it always bears discussing again, that there are four stages of transition. There's one is anticipation, then there's ending, then there's passage, and then there's the new normal. So I was recently speaking with a friend, and she has a new grandbaby, first grandbaby, and they're talking about, gosh, we do want to move closer, but how and how will that look? And we're not sure, and what will happen with my husband's work, and I'm not sure. It's just that kind of thing, that's anticipation, where we're thinking that something will change, but it's not clear yet. It could be a move, like I talked about. It could be a job change that could be happening also. It could be retirement, that we're all closer to starting or completing another stage as time shifts. We could be in ending. Ending is something where when you're in it, you can't go back. So like losing my husband and his that loss, when it's ending, which wasn't really anticipated, I didn't get to have that stage really, but ending where it happened, you can't go back and change it. It's there now. It's your new reality.
Yeah.
Or it could be something like a parent's health change. Do they need more care now? Do we have to consider how we're going to meet that need? Who do we bring on? How do we pay for it? Passage is one where we're kind of moving through now. We're moving through that shift and change, and that can take years to work out. And that's all of this stuff is really normal until we get to this new normal on the other side, whether it be we have retired or we have remarried or we have adjusted to being a widow or divorced or our children have launched and left the home. I mean, again, transitions happen all the time.
The new normal, I mean, that's, you use that phrase. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I always think of is the fact that somebody has to accept. And that acceptance, that can take some time. And I know that that's something we've spoken on other podcasts as well. But, you know, losing a parent, losing a spouse, your children moving out, it's not like the next day, well, this is my new norm, because it really isn't normal at all for, you know, for a little bit. At least.
No.
And so how do you help people, and I don't want to divert this podcast to something completely different, but give me an example of how you kind of help somebody work through that to where they get to the point where they know I have to accept it at some point, even if it's not that moment. It's not like you're going to convince them to accept it, but how do you get them to realize that they do need to accept things as a new norm?
Well, I actually don't necessarily do that. It's something for them to do, because I'm going to guess that there's some question behind the question about what about people who never get to that new normal or who are stuck somehow. That means to me going back to, I have so many tools as a financial transitionist, and a lot of it is stopping and talking and addressing. And some things, in a way, we don't ever get past. I know women who have lost children. They've lost 3-year-old babies, they've lost 13-year-old sons, they've lost, had some significant losses. With David, I've lost David, and even though I'm remarried and I'm very happy with that, I will, I think, forever miss David. And I accept it, you know, I accept that this happened. And they have too, they're not stuck, but just things happen where all of a sudden you're hit with this sadness out of the blue, something triggers something, and I think the main thing is just to normalize that and say, yes, that does happen, and to allow people the space for that rather than urge them on. Again, I think it's a cultural thing where it's possible that internally others are uncomfortable unless we're at peace. And it's and they'd rather us be at peace because they don't know what to do. Yeah. And let's go on to the next thing. I really appreciate when we just say, yeah, this is hard, and just allowing this space for it to be hard. And it just with the different tools we'll be talking about today, there are ways to, I think the hardest thing is to envision if one is in ending to, and then just moving into passage, to envision what will the rest of my life look like? I did not count on this.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, and any changes that need to be made internally, externally, those types of things, obviously it is at someone's own pace. And that's one of the reasons I love this topic in general that you're bringing today, is that we're going to be reflecting, right? We're going to be looking back on things that we could control in this last year, what we couldn't mm-hmm. control, and then what to do about them. So I'm excited.
And also bringing in something about portfolio and investments. So, so these things, though, they can bring us anxiety, right? Just hearing about an ending, they are thinking about retirement or moving. For sometimes it can bring excitement, and it's like, yay, I get to do something new, and that's great. Often where it gets mucked up is when somebody doesn't stop and just reflect and look back. So this is a great opportunity. We're still in January. It's still a new year to reflect back on the last year and perhaps even the last decade and really think about. And I've got a few questions here, which would be, how would you describe your, and I'm not asking you, Eric.
Okay.
So for listeners, but you can, how would you describe your management of significant financial and personal decisions? Now, were you on top of them? Do you feel like you missed anything? Did you procrastinate decisions? How come you procrastinated decisions? I will tell you, Eric, that's a very normal thing. I see that all the time. I think procrastination is one of the biggest. We talked about termites, remember, way back when?
Oh, yeah.
In one of the early podcasts, termites that really can damage the foundation of one's financial structure. And procrastination is one of the biggest things that can do that, because what do we lose when we procrastinate? We lose time. And having time on our side is one of the best things that allow us to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And one may think, you know, are there any parts of one's personal, your personal financial program overall that may need some shoring up? That may be insurance, that may be estate planning, that may be looking at how your spending plan, how money was spent. Did it get spent the way that really felt good and really matched values, or did it sort of go out in a way that didn't feel particularly satisfying? Kind of like, well, I can't use this example really, but I will. I mean, just like potato chips, but potato chips can be pretty darn satisfying.
I love potato chips. Sorry.
I know. But was it like where, you know, there were meals that weren't really meals, where they were, you know, sat down and there was something for protein and something for vegetables in different colors. It was all like just potato chips. There was there a little too much imbalance there. And are you feeling great? You may be feeling great about certain parts, and that's fine. Personal finance is not black and white. I think that's another thought pattern that I've come across in my career, is that people either think that those who come in to work with me and work with us, they're quote unquote a mess, and they're not a mess financially, they're fine. Or, you know, they just need someone else to make the decisions. Well, I can make some decisions. It's typically not that black and white. It is people that we can really help our clients make good financial decisions in their lives. That's what we're focused on here. And we're not about outperforming a particular benchmark with the investments, our portfolios that we manage, or client portfolios that we manage. I was speaking with a prospective client last week, and he was talking about a portfolio that he has at a brokerage firm, and he's thinking of bringing it here. And I asked him what were his decision points around this. And he said, well, performance is one, and that's critical. And then what's the cost and to the management? And I went through it and I said, honestly, if it's performance that you're looking for, it's not, we're very competent in managing, but it's not our philosophy here to just amass assets and try and beat benchmarks. We are about here avoiding the behavioral performance gap.
Mm-hmm. Remind me again, behavioral performance gap. We've talked about it before.
Well, we talked about it before, but we're reworking that one. So the behavioral performance gap is a measurable gap by which average investors, not that anyone's average, we're all above average, but most investors can underperform a different benchmark. It's monitored by the Dalbar study. And in 2014, for example, in just that 1 year, individual investors underperformed the S&P 500, which is, you know, broad basket of U.S. primarily huge and large cap stocks, but they underperformed it by over 8%. And if you stretch that out, because, okay, 1 year, we all know I'm long-term with my investments. Stretching it out over 20 years, the individual investors, and this is measured through the flow of mutual funds, over 20 years underperformed the S&P by over 5%. So much of the press is about, well, do you outperform? Do you outperform? Then just go passive. And we are neutral on whether you're passive or active. Our portfolios are a blend, actually, of each. And though what creates this gap is what we're looking at. And most clients, again, I quoted measured against the S&P 500, which is all domestic, all large cap. That's the benchmark that's done incredibly well over the past 11 years since the Great Recession. But it doesn't have any international, doesn't have any bond, doesn't have any small cap, doesn't have any emerging market. So even with a more blended benchmark, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, over 20 years, average annual underperformance is 3.25%. And that can really add up. And so from our perspective, why does that happen? That's what we're trying to avoid. And it can happen because of emotional decision-making. And the emotions most typically are fear and greed. It can happen because of short-term thinking. Last year in 2019, the market sold off in 2019. And what investors do, they moved money out of equity exchange traded funds and equity mutual funds. There was all this talk, if you remember, about recession and the worry about the trade wars, et cetera. And so these short-term moves, people move money out. And what did we get last year? We got probably the best market year that we're going to have for years to come, is the thought. And missing out on those gains can really contribute to that gap in return versus a benchmark. So we can get stuck. Remember that word, procrastination. Mm-hmm. We can get stuck and not invest because we don't feel confident about how to invest. We can get stuck because we don't know whether we can invest or how much or where. Holy mackerel, again, going back to 20 years ago, it was a different, you know, there weren't ETFs traded as with the volume that there is now, are now. There weren't the choices. We didn't have so much mobile. We didn't have so much online. It can be really overwhelming. And then the other reason this can happen is people allow their tax tail to wag their investment dog. No, I don't want to rebalance because I'll have to pay taxes. And then especially given the returns overall of the past 10, 11 years, U.S. equity has grown in a lot of portfolios to a large percentage overall, and then their portfolios are not in balance.
Yeah, those are great points. You bring up two things that I think that everybody deals with, and that's both fear and a little bit of greed. Some more greedy than others, obviously, but at the same time, I think greed could also translate into excitement. In my terminology, you get excited about something happening. It's positive. I don't want to lose out, so I don't make a move. I don't rebalance because I don't want to lose out on possible gains, so on and so forth. But then people tend to hang on a little too long.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's not to say any of this is easy. That's why we're on. And I see the excitement also in portfolios and management financially. People get excited about buying. And so it's a very common tactic in marketing and sales. You know, you go to get the new car and you end up with more upgrades than you intended. You end up with something different than you intended. You spent more than intended, but it's so hard to walk off the lot and say, let me think about this. This wasn't my budgeted amount. It's like, oh no, I want to go for it. And that's another way that there's undermining there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, been there, done that. we've talked about the Lisa minivan, right? Okay. We don't need to revisit my leased minivan. That was just, yeah.
But we've all got those. We've all got those, you know, they're teaching moments. As an attorney shared with me once when I was going through, after I my business partner I had suddenly passed away about 17 years ago, he said, this will just make you a better advisor for your clients. And mm-hmm. all of these things are learning experiences, but they're yep. painful.
And it was.
And it was. But in transition, it can be really hard to see ahead. That's what I was talking about earlier at the beginning when we talked about the touchstone exercise. And that can also trigger us to either rush to a decision because we just want something to clear up that ambiguity, or we can procrastinate a decision because we really aren't, maybe we do see something that we'd like or want, but we don't feel confident in it. And that's really, both of these are actually, it's normal to have that fear because it is normal to have a hard time seeing ahead. And we help women move beyond that with actual tools. It's not charts, it's not graphs, it's not long discussions about the market and about how, yes, it's long term, so you should feel comfortable in the stock market right now, and this is what you should do. It's about who are you? What tell let's just start where you are. So one of the tools that I use, and I even use it with clients I've had for a number of years when they have a tendency more towards anxiety, and it's called Am I Okay? And it's very simple. It's a 2-page worksheet that reviews first, what are my sources of income? It's really useful too when there's a lot of anxiety news, panic news that's out there. Talk about inflation and things like that. Well, let's see, are you okay? What are your sources of income? What is the amount? When is it available? How long is it available? Is it taxable? So let's see what we have coming in. Mm-hmm. And then looking at cash, what do we have in reserves? Is there a penalty to access it? How would we access it? Is it going to be taxable? And it's really helpful to see, and this was, again, walking through and working through clients in the early 2000s, which, holy cow, was 20 years ago, when we went through a negative equity year in 2001, 2002, 2003, 3 years in a row, recovered from that, and 5 years later, we're going through the Great Recession of 08. Working through that with clients, a lot had to do with making sure that these simple steps of confirming access to cash and income, that we had that in place to navigate through the downturns when they were to occur. And when we go through this, it really allows a buffer for decision-making, meaning mm-hmm. that if I'm thinking, oh gosh, do I need to move? Do I need to make a market change? Do I need to invest my money because I just inherited money? And what shall I do? It allows us to say to the unconscious brain that's getting worried, that fight or flight, that flight, to say, everything's okay. You have mm-hmm. this much money coming in. You have this much in reserves. You're in good shape for a year, maybe 2 years. And maybe it's less. No, it's the other can happen too. Maybe it's 3 months and we have to go, okay, we've got this 3 months. How do we prioritize this 3-month period so we know these are the things we really should talk about first, but you still have time for these others.
Yeah.
And when you go back to these questions that I asked earlier on, how would you describe your management of significant financial and personal decisions? Not your financial and personal management, but your decisions about it. That's what I want to hear about it. Are you on top of all the decisions you need to make? Do you feel like you missed anything? One of the best places to start, because financial decisions, they have impact, and we know that they do, but it can be really hard to map it all out. So that's why this list of Am I Okay is a very good place to bring it back in black and white, say, okay, this is where I am. So that's one of the first things I would do for those who are looking at 2020 and perhaps wanting to do things a little bit differently than 2019, or are closer to a goal of transition and want to confirm where they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another tool, this is just looking at it from another direction that we also use, and it's called Bliss List. And here we get to like blow the picture up really big from where am I in terms of cash assets and reserves to the big picture, to the hopes we might have, the dreams, expectations, our values, who and what is important to us.
So more long-term.
So we had a bit of, pardon?
So more long-term.
It's long-term, but it doesn't have to be 20 years out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It really is, you know, there are questions on this, like what are the things that make me happy? So when I was going through, or when other clients have actually gone through their transitions, where they've lost a spouse, they're retiring. What are the things that make me happy? And sometimes that feels, that's a sensitive question if you're in the early stages of grieving. Mm-hmm. But when it's been maybe a few months, 3 or 6 months, what are the things that lift you up? And some people, these are some of the answers I've gotten is being with my children, traveling, just resting, having quiet days to myself, being out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And another question is, you know, I want to spend most of my time with blank. And they've said like-minded people, my children, really just myself, my siblings.
Potato chips.
Right? I spend most of my time with snack food.
That's right. Surrounded by my best friends. Potato chips, right. Dip, things like that. Got it. All right. Well, that's a great question because it really does. It brings to mind what is that time? How are you spending that time? And it's not just about what makes you happy. It's not just about who you want to spend time or where you want to spend time, but it's how do you want to utilize that time most efficiently? And I think that's... If I could just teleport, and you know, then again, this is for 2030, right? We flying cars in 2020, teleportation.
Oh, then
in 2030.
You could be here right away.
Exactly, right? I could be in your office, and we could podcast, you know, right. In person. But if I could just teleport myself to a river in Colorado, or even in the Pacific Northwest, where you are, just sitting next to a river and spend 20 minutes there, just in complete silence of everything else from the outside world, and just listen to the water, and just listen to the wind in the trees. Good Lord, Esther, that would be amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, you know, you talk about quiet days or quiet time, but I don't think we get enough of that as a people. And for you to be able to walk people through so they can identify this, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and just talk and say, well, okay, how can we do it? You know, in the town that I work in, Los Altos, there's a beautiful redwood grove that is a 8-minute walk away, a 2-minute drive away. And it's a wonderful place just to go and walk around. And it's got a boardwalk through all these redwoods that they've saved. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean, so when you said, is this for long term? It's not necessarily long term. It's like, how do I manage my life today? It's not all about 20 years from now. And one of the other questions is, my life will not be complete unless I, what? Mm. And it can be pay off my debts. I want to leave a legacy for my children. Other people are like, and not be complete unless I use all my money, travel to all the destinations I'd like. So these are things that they're just discussion items. So when you said how do people get to acceptance, some of it is just saying where are we with these types of things? I mean, the bliss list is pages long, so we go through it piece by piece, but just having the opportunity to sit and reflect on these things and have, we really are there as a coach and an engaged person. And what does this all have to do with financial planning? Well, it all combats fear. If we are aware of how we are secure now, and maybe there is some financial insecurity, then we say, okay, great. We narrow in on that and let's address that. And that's, you know, our expertise comes in there. What are the tools that we need to bring to bear? Who do we talk to? How do we address this? What's our timeline? We get to work. And if we're also, though, thinking and being aware of what makes us contented and feeling nourished, and we're planning around that, we're in a lot less danger of chasing happiness, or as we talked about, excitement, or being in procrastination. We often can chase happiness through consumption, whether it's potato chips or clothes, shoes.
Gadgets, yeah.
Gadgets. We can go on, but we're running out of time in the podcast. So we all know, we can all have our example of what's our go-to when we're not feeling safe or secure. Mm-hmm. And if we have a black and white list in front of us of like, oh, there's the redwood grove. Oh, there's the ocean. Or gosh, it isn't. I know the ocean isn't 20 minutes away from where you are, but is there a time in the year 2020 when I can schedule some time to just go and be by the ocean. Mm-hmm. If we plan those in, and this is where the planning comes in, then we can allocate our funds and our money and our actions aligned with what really matters to us, and then build our portfolio around that so that when the market drops suddenly, whether it's because of issues in the Middle East or trade with China or whatever it might be, we're in much less danger of knee-jerk reacting to us and falling into that performance gap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Esther, thank you so much. I know we are running out of time, like you said, and I think this is a great start to 2020 because people do resolutions all the time, but I think those fall short a lot of times. I think the R word that I like best is reflection, and that's exactly what you're speaking of. So as we do that, I know that you walk alongside your clients and and other folks in this process. If somebody's listening and they say, you know what, I can answer some of those questions and a lot of my answers are blank or a lot of my answers are potato chips, I should probably talk to Esther because it doesn't seem like that might be the best idea for me. How do they reach out to you?
I won't shame you for it, really.
No shame. Yeah, there's no potato chip shame here at all.
No.
But if they need, if they want, okay. Well, you made your stand. Barbecue it is. If they want to reach out and say, hey, let's start this conversation, I'm really interested in going through and looking at the Bliss List or the, I'd like to talk about the Am I Okay tool because I'm just not sure. How do they get a hold of
it? Yeah. Couple ways. The website is probably the best. It's gatespassadvisors.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And just reach out. We can talk more. And I'd love to listen to what's going on with you and talk about how we can help.
Awesome. And I can tell you firsthand, she is amazing at listening. She has listened to me ramble on and on many times. So I encourage you to reach out to Esther and her team. They are fantastic. So Esther, I want to thank you for your time because it's always valuable to me. So I appreciate you so much. And I look forward to a wonderful 2020 podcasting with you.
Sounds great. Me too.
All right. And I want to thank the audience for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share this podcast with your friends and family. Again, thanks so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.